I recently read a book in which the author of that book spoke of what real writers do. And this author quoted novelist Kurt Vonnegut and said that there is a kind of writing, apparently, that real writers do. And in that kind of writing, the writer finds himself or herself with about 2 feet of the darkness illuminated before you as you worked your way from word to word. Both authors, I think, were saying, trust the process. Stop trying to figure out where the whole story is going to end up and work your way from word to word. And enjoy and experience the journey without trying to see too far in advance what the end result will be. In our Christian faith, we proclaim the Word with a capital W, the Word made flesh. And very often we can say these very fluffy Christian sounding things, which are big and lofty and dramatic sounding. But we don't live life in large dramatic strokes, but in small steps. Like the real writer, as this one author said, we work our way from one small word to another. We try to navigate 2 feet of darkness, ideally without thinking about what the rest of the forest holds. Our instinct, at least in much of the institutional church, is to try to offer an interpretation of the entire Word of God and to understand in some systematic way how it all works. We try to predict what the whole forest holds. And we like to claim the knowledge of this grand design of God as our own special knowledge. Today in our Old Testament reading, we hear from the prophet Zechariah, and he writes this, "Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem, lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." Zechariah goes on to say he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. This Zechariah passage, seen in retrospect, is considered a prefiguring or an adumbration of the coming of Jesus. He will come on a donkey, not on a war horse. And let's think about that arrival, because the donkey is a humble animal, one associated with the mundane business of life instead of the dramatic business of death, as we would associate a war horse. Zechariah, and then later the New Testament and the very story of Jesus, all of these pieces try to tell us that God has established this Messiah not as a God of war and destruction, but as a God of peace and restoration. Our temptation, at least mine, is to turn Jesus' donkey colt into a war horse and make him serve my agenda. My instinct is to turn him against my enemies, but this is the worst kind of misinterpretation. Because, after all, the most important commandment of God is to love God and love neighbor. That command says nothing about understanding theology, doctrine, nothing about passing judgment on other people. One source that I frequently read about Scripture says that our priorities are wrong if we focus The focus of our inquiry is whether Jesus is indeed the long-expected King of the Jews, whether Christians are right and Jews are wrong. This author says such an inquiry is itself all too often an act of violence. Our priority should be to ask whether our own lives of faith are true to the messianic vision we see enacted in the life of Jesus. We are too often looking to inflict an act of violence, to enlist God's help in excluding those who don't agree with us, to enlist God's help in avenging the wrongs done to us. But Zechariah says, "Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem." and he speaks of the Messiah's arrival on a donkey and not on a war horse. And he says that this Messiah will command peace to all the nations. If we worry too much about how it is all going to unfold, we will not find that peace. We find peace, I think, by simply looking at the small encounters and by saying to ourselves day to day, in that last encounter, did I do the best I could do to love another person? My job right now is not to know the contents of the whole forest, but to love the next person I encounter. That small light by design only lights about 2 feet of the darkness ahead of me. In Acts, there is a discussion about Jesus and the disciples, and they said, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." He goes on to say that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." We will be witnesses to the love of God incarnate in human flesh. Our flesh, the small word found 2 feet in front of us. And that small word that we speak will gesture toward the word made flesh, Jesus. I have to tell myself continually to stop worrying about what's going to happen in the rest of the forest. To look at that small place right before me and stand there and know that the person who is standing with me needs to know that he matters, that he needs to be fed and sheltered, that he needs a companion in the darkness of the forest. This is not an easy task, focusing on that small space in which I'm asked to love other people. I want to claim God on a war horse to be on my side. I want to know God's will not only for me, but for everyone else. And in my worst times, I want God to punish those who hurt me. This is a natural instinct, and we do see it in Scripture. In one of the most moving passages in all of Scripture, Psalm 137, the psalmist starts out, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. Our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked us for mirth." The end of that psalm goes on to say, "Happy shall they be who pay back what you have done to us." That's a psalm version, an Old Testament version of saying, "Come to me, God, on a war horse, and make those who have hurt me pay." But this is not the God that comes to us. We are not called to know everything about God. I wonder why we spend so much time trying to see the whole forest when the most important work of the universe is standing right there 2 feet in front of us. I do want to know how it all unfolds. I want to be in the inner circle with God. But it's not my job to decide who God will save. It is my job to love. Instead of trying to determine if only the Christians will ultimately be with God, why not do something meaningful, like taking care of the person right in front of me? Why not notice that the king rode in on a donkey and not on a war horse charged with fighting my battles? It makes me sad sometimes, but mostly it makes me relieved to say that I am not in charge of keeping the scales of divine justice in balance. I am not in charge of the whole forest. I'm responsible for the next 2 feet, the seemingly small tasks of caring for others, and working my way from word to word with a small flashlight between my teeth. I don't have to cramp my brain and my soul trying to figure out who gets to be with God and who doesn't. I am simply asked to optimize the next opportunity I have to love another human being, and in doing so, to love my God. I am asked to love even the captor who asks me to sing cheery songs, even the tormentor who asks for mirth. It isn't easy to do, but it is very simple. We don't want it to be so simple, though, because we won't have self-satisfaction knowing that God is on our side alone. We won't be able to claim that God will come on a war horse to fight our battles. But Jesus came to us not on a horse for the war, but on a donkey. The beauty of that knowledge is that we're not in charge of the whole world. The frustration of that knowledge is that we're not in charge of the whole world. We have a long way to go through this dark forest. We want to know what every inch of the journey holds. We want to live out God's dramatic design, and we want to know that design before anyone else knows. But we don't have to know whom God will save or how. We need only remember that God has already saved us. So the choice left to each of us is this: how much anxiety and angst will I inflict on myself along the way? I'm a human being. I always want to know what waits down the road for me, for this church, for society, for the world. I'd love to know, and often I strain to see in the darkness. But I don't need to worry about what the rest of the forest holds. I have all I can handle working my way from one small word to another. Humility, compassion, love, trust in God. My little flashlight allows me to know very little, but I do know this. The King has already ridden in, not on a war horse, but on a humble donkey. I'm not called to save the world, but to humble myself as my King Jesus has done. The first step in that humility is remembering that I have but one small light held between my teeth, that all of my work for God is found in the small space right before me. God will take care of the rest of the forest. Right now, I'm working from one small word to the next. I'm focusing on the 2 feet right in front of me. Amen.